I mainly teach sub-Saharan African literature at this point. I started off doing South African stuff, and my first book that's coming out is mainly on South Africa. And now my husband and I go between the U.S. and Southern Africa every year. So I'm researching a new project on Zimbabwean literature. And unfortunately, I do not know Ndebele. I only know Shona. But it's on my list of other tasks to get to in the next year or so.
Oh, yes. So now you visited Amakuku Heritage Center. What are the benefits of that kind of center, if you may tell us, from what you gained from your visit?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was really important for me, first of all, because obviously Shona is a more populist culture in Zimbabwe. So I think people who are involved with the country tend to see more things from the Shona side of the situation. So I actually didn't know nearly as much about Ndebele traditions as I did about Shona. So I really enjoyed having a sort of comparative perspective within the country. And I think also when especially kind of Western academics at the moment think about African cultures, it's kind of an Afropolitan, like it's the sort of hip urban thing right now. And that's important. It's important to think about places like Johannesburg and Nairobi and Lagos. But sometimes what happens from my perspective is that the village agricultural traditions tend to get lost in that mix. So for me, it was just really interesting to actually see how things are still taking place, right up the road from Bulawayo, practically, and how people are still sustaining themselves through traditional. We did basket weaving. We learned about sort of the way that you put mats together. We learned about sort of the way that you make and then use traditional costume for different events and occasions. And then we had a fairly long lesson on the setup of the Ndebele homestead and the role that the kitchen plays in that setup.
So with all that you actually experienced at that particular place, do you think it's very beneficial for people to actually visit such centers to learn something, on Ndebele culture or something like that?
I do, very much so, very much so, especially because the people who are working at Amagugu aren't hired to come and pretend that they're, practicing traditional crafts and homestead maintenance. And I think that the big difference between, for example, an American style, we sometimes call them like ethnographic centers or ethnographic museums. I grew up right near one that was all about sort of American farming practices and American craftsmanship and things like that. But they're people who come in and they basically pretend to have these trades in order for you to learn about them. So it's educational, but you're not actually being exposed to the way that other people do things. And at Amagugu, these people are living this every single day of their lives. The founders of Amagugu have been extremely attentive to involving people from the local community. So he said that literally everyone who is participating in it is walking from their home each morning, and they're kind of able to then show you what they would be doing anyway. And then there's a small center where locals can contribute crafts and what they're making, and you can sort of buy and take something away if you choose to.
Does that not look like some kind of field for research at the end of the day, and most probably for you to come out with literature or team up with people to do that?
No, I mean, it's funny. I don't work on that sort of, I'm not an anthropologist. So in terms of kind of cultural practices and traditional practices, for me, it's really much more of an enrichment opportunity, if you know what I mean, than it is directly applicable to research. So I certainly think that there are people, scholars for whom Amagugu would be incredibly useful in a direct way. I think for people with a different sort of cultural investment in Zimbabwe, I mean, I studied a Zimbabwean novel from the 1950s through today, so a more of a distant relationship. I think it's just informative. I think it's a matter of understanding as much as you possibly can about the country that you're working with, whether that's directly applicable to your research or not as an academic or a scholar.
And how do you find Zimbabwe?
Oh, God, I love Zimbabwe. We're in Cape Town now visiting family and a lot of close friends here. Both my husband and I have a lot of both personal and research connections in South Africa. and I already miss it. I will go back as soon as I can next May, I imagine. And I think that for me, Zimbabwe is sort of, I don't want to say a hidden gem because that sounds patronizing, but people don't understand the kind of riches that are there, not just for tourists, but for people who want to be immersed in literary and cultural traditions. South Africa tends to loom so large, I think, that Zimbabwe is oftentimes kind of roped into that conversation. And it's, in fact, incredibly distinctive and incredibly rich. And it's a place that I try to get back to as often as I can. And in the meantime, I keep in touch with my language activities through Skype and with people who are living in the diaspora in the DC area.
What type of food did you like there?
I cannot stop eating it. I love Saza Ninyama so much. I love budzi, which is a buzi in the Bela. Is that right?
Yes.
I absolutely love it. And it's probably a good thing that I don't live in Zimbabwe full time, because I think I would be about three of the people that I am now from the amount of Saza that I would consume.
Then your last word.
Oh, I just want to say that I had an especially good time in Bulawayo this last time that I visited Zimbabwe. And I think that Bulawayo in particular just has a lot to offer. And they're doing some really interesting things both at Amagugu and at a small literary and cultural space called Indaba Book Cafe. And I really hope people will be aware of how much is actually going on in the city, despite its reputation for being wonderfully slow and sleepy.